I told in the Sunday school class this morning that I am a fanatic, and I don't deny that about the Bible, if that's what people want to label me. And I try to teach my children to be the same way, and I think that's a good thing. When in that song they just sang, if anybody finds anything wrong with our Bible, then there's something wrong with them. They need to want to be the ones checking up, and instead of trying to correct the Bible and change it, you know. So anyway, thank you all for being here this morning. So good to see each and every one of you. And I hope you receive a blessing from being in the services today. And God is good to us all the time, isn't he? I mean, my goodness. Woo. We can always count on him. We can always go to him for everything. No matter what it is. No matter what kind of pressure and distress this world or the devil or yourself puts on you. You can always go to him and trust that he will be there to take care of your problems, to take care of what you're going through, to help you. And he's helped me many a time. That's how I can stand here and tell you of a surety that he will help you. He is a very present help in a time of need. And I have found that to be true in my 33 years of Christian life. So if you will, this morning, like for you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 13 through 17 as our text. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 13. And by the way, the preacher, the evangelist that wrote that card, that sent that card, I second that. I second that. And I agree with everything that he says there about your church here. You are a loving church. And I tell you, it's wonderful. You don't find that everywhere you go. Trust me, you don't find that everywhere. Y'all have got something here that's special, and you need to keep it going that way. And don't let the devil get in and try to distort it, destroy it, or anything like that. Hold on. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Notice that. They're deceiving. And they are deceived. That's why they can so easily deceive you and deceive people, because they are deceived themselves. And so you can't expect much more from these, as I was talking in the Sunday school class about Bible correctors and so forth. They're already deceived, and then they're going to go out and deceive others. So they're going to wax worse and worse. Verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." Scriptures. We have the scriptures, undoubtedly, and they're not to be tampered with. "Which are able," notice what the holy scriptures are able to do, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Notice about scripture again in verse 16. All scripture in your King James Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All right? You don't have to go back to the originals. You can go right here in your King James Bible. And they're inspired by God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God, we want to thank you for everything you do for us. Father, we could do nothing on our own. Father, we're so thankful for you, that you hear our prayers. Father, that you walk beside of us daily, dear God. You dwell within us by the Holy Spirit of God, leading and directing our path, dear Lord. Lord, we want to just thank you for loving us so much. Father, we're a lot of times, dear God, we have been unloving towards you. But Lord, you still loved us, and we're thankful for that. Thank you, dear God, for saving our wretched soul and washing us clean with your precious blood. Thank you, Father. And dear Lord, thank you for your precious scriptures, your precious word. Help us, dear Lord, to expound upon them today. For I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's a poem written by Sir Walter Scott many years ago, and he wrote this about your Bible. Within this wondrous volume lies the mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race, to whom their God has given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to find the way. And better had they never been born, who read to doubt or read to scorn. You hear that? That goes out to all those Bible correctors out there. It'd be better for them never to have been born than to tamper with God's word, to mess with the book. And tonight, if you come back, I'm going to preach the attack on your Bible, on the King James Bible. But this morning, I'd like to preach a few moments here on the Bible. The Bible. The Bible. What is the Bible? And so forth. Lester Roloff said many years ago, the only way to build a church, if you're going to have a Bible-believing church, is to preach out of the Bible, teach out of the Bible, and read out of the Bible. Do you read it? Do you study it? As the introduction, I like to say that no man's life and no man's labor or his education is complete if he does not know the Bible. We can go to all the best colleges there is in the world. We can attend them for many years. We can gather all these titles and letters behind our name and seemingly be of importance. And we can have all these credentials and degrees. But if a man goes through life and he does not know his Bible, and he does not know the Savior of this Bible, my friend, let me tell you something. His life is just worthless. Amen. Worthless. It's not complete. This Bible has been written, given to us by God Almighty, that our life might be complete in Him. No Christian can be fully effective without a ready knowledge of the Bible. And by that I mean, how do you know how to witness to someone? How can you know how to tell someone about Christ? How can you teach from your Bible to someone else if you don't study it yourself, you see? And even if you don't believe it, you see? No Christian believer can live the Christian life to the fullest without having an adequate knowledge of the Bible. The right approach of the Bible is of utmost importance. Utmost importance. The Lord Jesus Christ is the focal theme of all the scriptures, because He is the living Word. This is the living Word. Let us therefore come to these scriptures reverently when we read them, when we study them, when we talk about them. They are inbreathed. Breathed by the Holy Spirit of God, and that He, the Holy Spirit, is the knowledge of God, and He's our teacher. Psalms 119, let me read a few scriptures here for you. Psalms 119, if you will, verse 18. Here's a good scripture right here. We need to memorize and start off with prayer before we read the Bible. And I believe the Holy Spirit of God will give you wisdom, just as He promises. Verse 18 of Psalms 119 says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." lot of people don't get a lot out of the Bible when they read it, because they read it like just any other book. Need to read it, seeking God's wisdom, God's understanding of it. Verse 130 of that same Psalms 119. Verse 130, the Bible says, the entrance. Notice that now, something entering into your mind, into your life, into your heart. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. My friend, that's what I want, because I am just simple. But I want understanding. I want more light from the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark world that we're living in, you see. And the entrance of his words, that's what produces light. That's what produces understanding in us, you see. Apart from reading God's word, then we are lacking in wisdom and understanding, you see. This book is powerful. Psalms, let's go back to 105, 119, verse 105. Just cross the page. The Bible says there in verse 105, the word, thy word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 140, thy word is pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Amen. Verse 148, the Bible says, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Do you ever meditate upon it? When you're laying there and it seems like the whole world comes flooding in on you at nighttime, doesn't it? When you lay your head down on your pillow. Seems like just all the distresses and all the things that went wrong today just, wow, just floods me and overwhelms me. And then I got to face tomorrow. Well, I can tell you assuredly, if we'll meditate on God's word, you can face tomorrow a whole lot better, you see. Verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Verse 162, the Bible says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth good spoil. Oh, my goodness, great riches out of this Bible you can get. Verse 165, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I've never seen such a generation of people in my life that are so offended by everything a preacher says. You know what I mean? You go out there and street preach, and you'll have people come by and cuss you out. Or they'll stop by and walk up to you, and they won't even take a track, but they'll just cut. And then, you witness to people, go to their house, knock on the door. I don't want to hear anything a preacher got to say. I don't want to hear anything the Bible has to say and stuff. They're offended. And then, shock of all shocks, is when Christians get offended by the Word of God. Whenever they're got sin in their life, or they're doing something wrong, no, they ought not be doing it, and the preacher preaches on it and preaches against it, what do they do? He's not going to tell me. He's not going to tell me what to do. He's not going to tell me how to live. I'm going to do what I want and have it my way. Well, if we're living right, we're loving God's word, this Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then 169, the Bible says, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Verse 172, my tongue shall speak thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And if you will, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Bible says, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's what we want to do. We'll be pleasing unto the Lord, don't we? We want to walk worthy of that. Be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, there's only one way that you're going to walk worthy of the Lord and be pleasing unto him and be fruitful to everything that you put your hands to and increasing with knowledge, and that's only by the Word of God. Only by that. You cannot do it apart from that. You may try, but it will come up fruitless. You may try, without the Word of God. But it will not amount to anything. My friend, if you want to lay up treasures in heaven, you want to do the things that God wants you to do, you want to be blessed by Him, do it according to His Word. Love His Word. Have the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding of His Word. So first of all here, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Notice now what the truth, what the Scripture will do for you. It'll make your doctrine right. Amen? You know, when churches and people, they get off doctrinally, it's because they're not studying the Word of God. And they're not rightly dividing the Word of truth, you see. They're not studying to show themselves approved. And therefore, their doctrine is all messed up. And in essence, whenever they don't rightly divide the Word of truth, and they're not studying it right, in essence, they're saying right there that I'm going to tamper with God's Word. God's Word is not all, I need to change it to what I want it to say. And their doctrine gets off, you see. Well, God's Word is not to be messed with. I still say it. I say it again. Don't mess with the book. I'll tell you right now, if you mess with the book, it'll mess with your mind. I mean, that's a definite sure thing. You mess with God. I've read about men that have messed with and tampered with God's Word, changing it, adding to it, diminishing from it, and they've lost their minds. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now, what the Bible is it's given by inspiration of God. That's an absolute. I will not back down from that. The Bible is God's inspired word and revelation of the origin and destiny of all things. Colossians chapter 1, back over there again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Amen. "For by Him all things, both in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, all these things is created for Him and by Him, for His great pleasure." That's the reason why you and I were created, for His pleasure. The Bible is the power of God unto eternal salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, that's what the Bible is. It's the power unto eternal salvation. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed." Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." God's words in your King James Bible is alive, and it leads to salvation if one will hear it, read it, look at it. The Bible, continuing on what the Bible is. Well, it is God's will and testament to all ages, to all men of all ages. It reveals the plan of God for man, both here and now, and the hereafter. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." And verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might work, and again in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. And the Bible is also the record of God's dealing with man, both past, present, and future. You know, God is still dealing with people. He hasn't given up. We're still here, aren't we? We haven't been raptured yet. So he's still dealing with man. And he still wishes for people to be saved that are unsaved. But he wishes for you and I that are saved that we would be a greater witness. That you and I would go out there and get them. Compel them to come in, you see. You may get discouraged. I talked about this last Sunday night about soul winning and so forth, but don't give it up. Don't quit. Don't quit on God. You know he has the power to save, and he will save anyone that will call upon him. The problem is, we're not doing our job. We're not being as outgoing as what we used to be. Think about it. We've let things come in and just kind of damper us down some. We've let TV and maybe family or anything else that comes around, maybe your job, maybe your workout program, whatever it may be. You fill in the blank. What's hindering you for witnessing for the Lord? What the Bible is. Well, the Bible is a source of present help. Thank God for that. For body, soul, and spirit. John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Does his words abide in you? What the Bible is. The Bible is, it contains God's message of eternal salvation to all who will believe in Christ, and of eternal damnation to all those who will not believe in Christ. That's what the Bible is. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Bible contains. That's what the Bible is. It's the message from God in his great salvation. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible is the most remarkable book ever made. In its pages is a divine library of 66 books. There was over 40 different authors that wrote these 66 books of the Bible during a period of over 1,800 years. And they had one theme in common: the creation and redemption of the human race by God through Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These books of the Bible were written by men from all walks of life, written by kings, priests, judges, lawyers, princes, shepherds, soldiers, statesmen, musicians, singers, poets, preachers, prophets, fishermen, farmers, tent makers, publicans, physicians, rich men and poor men. And yet, they all came together in your King James Bible. The book became one book. And there's not one contradiction in your book. Not one. All 66 books of this Bible are in perfect harmony with one another and unity. There's no mistakes in your Bible. None whatsoever. My question is, then why does those so-called Bible scholars and learned men mess with it then? in this book, our Bible, the King James Bible, we can see that a divine author has put together this book. Nobody else but a divine author could produce such a book and powerful book as this. Hebrews 10:7 says, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Well, what the Bible is, God has given to us his words contained in this one book. Given to us Bible believers for it to be our final authority in all manner and faith and practice. The King James Bible is a living book. You can cut any page of this Bible and it'll bleed. It's alive. The King James Bible is a living book because the words on its pages are alive. They're living. They've been spoken and breathed out of the mouth of the living God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Just as God breathed into the nostrils of Adam back there in Genesis chapter 2. And the Bible says he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam, and Adam became a living soul. So it is when God's words is received and believed by whosoever will open up their heart and allow God's words to speak to them and come in to them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Oh, they too will become a living soul, you see. We were once dead in our sins and our trespasses. When the Spirit of God comes in after hearing his words, then he hath quickened us, the Bible says. Made us alive is what that quickened means. Made us alive. And just as Adam lived when God breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and Adam became a living soul. That's the way it is with you and I. When we get saved, our soul finally is alive. It's been awakened from the death of sin. You see, the scriptures are alive. His words are life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 3. That's which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Bible is, thirdly, it's the scriptures or a traveler's map for us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path." See how powerful and alive the book of the God's book is, the Bible? It directs us. John chapter 14, verse 6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way." He's the only way. And his book shows us the way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, the scriptures are a pilgrim's staff as well. Psalms 23:4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And here's the reason why he feels that he's with him. That the psalmist feels that the Lord is with him. "Thy rod and thy staff comfort me." That's our scriptures. They're like a rod and staff for us. We can lean upon them. We can glean upon them. And we can trust in them. And they'll help us through a time of need. The scriptures are also our compass. John chapter 5, verse 39, the Bible says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." You want to find Jesus? You want to know more about him? You want to get closer to him? He's just as close as that book you're holding in your hand. That's how you can fight the battle. That's how you can win the battle, through the Scriptures. The Scriptures are the soldier's sword. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the reason why a lot of people won't read it. Let me just pause right there a second. That's the reason why a lot of Christians don't like reading God's word. And that's the reason why a lot of the Bible scholars and professors and so forth try to dumb down the word of God and try to take away from it and try to add to it and change it, because they don't like what it's telling them. It discerns their heart and the intent of their heart, you see. It shows them the darkness that's in their heart, that they don't believe God's word. They don't trust in God's word. If they don't believe it and they have doubt in their heart about it, then the only thing they can do is to change it. Let me change it. Let me take some of it out. I don't like that. I don't like what that's telling me. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's somebody out there wanting to take your sword away from you. He's called the devil. The Scriptures are the Christian's charter and final authority. Psalms 138, verse 2. I will worship toward the holy temple, thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God sets a high standard for his word, doesn't he? He puts a high and holy name upon it. He said he puts his word above all his name. Why should we doubt it? Why should people go out there and try to change it? Why won't we read it? The Scriptures, the job of the Scriptures, the purpose of the Scriptures for you and I, it should fill our memory, you see. What today, there would be an executive order signed to outlaw that book, what would you do? We worry about our weapons and so forth, about them coming, passing some law, taking them away. But what about that weapon? Is it not the most important one? Do you know that could happen? Do you know that they could sign it in law to outlaw that book, the sale of it? They could take it away from all you need. And I know, living here in America all our lives, that seems impossible. But my friends, if the Lord tarries much longer, you're going to see the impossible be possible. It's coming. You only have to go across the border up there in Canada and see what's happened up there with that book. Do you know it's against the law up there for a preacher to stand behind the sacred desk of God and preach against homosexuality and even mention it? He'll be put in jail for it. That's what's coming to America. Scripture should fill our memory. I read accounts of men that were arrested after World War II and even before World War II in places like Romania and Russia and different ones, and get their accounts of what happened, Christian men. And those Christian men will give you account of them being arrested because they were a preacher, placed in dungeons, some of them 6-8 stories underground in Romania. And they would say that they would just long for just one little page of the Bible. They said if they could find one, Richard Wurmbrand, he said that he found a page laying there in the sewer of his cell when they put him in one of the cells. Just one page. And he said he grabbed that and he cherished that. My friend, if they took the Word of God, took your Bible away from you today, would you have enough of it memorized to be able to help you through all the torture and everything that's coming about that they could produce upon you? Would you have a memorization of so much word that it would help you through a trying and hurting time? But apply that to your everyday life. We have problems every day. We have decisions that we have to make. And many times we'll do it without even looking at the Word of God, without even going there. Scripture should fill our memory. The Scripture should rule our heart. The Scripture should guide your feet in all righteousness and true holiness. That's what it should do. It should be there to convict us, and we should allow it to convict us. Sin is stopped before we get into it. A lot of people think, well, let me go ahead and sin, then I'll get control of it. No, don't do that. That's like messing around with a viper. This book, if you'll read it, memorize it, and fill your heart with it, just as that song that they sing, sin will keep you from this book. But this book will keep you from sin. Well, we need to read the Scripture slowly and with an open heart. We need to read it frequently and prayerfully. We need to meditate on the Scriptures. We need to search out the Scriptures diligently and devotionally. We need to study it constantly. We need to read the Bible through and through until it becomes part of our being and generates faith that is steadfast and unmovable, you see. You take these people out there that just falls for these false versions that I presented to you this morning in Sunday school class. Why do they, even preachers, they promote those things. They bring them to their church and tell the people, well, here's a better version. Here's an easier to read version. And they'll go out and just buy them up. Why are they so easily deceived? Why are they so easily gone astray from that, from the true Word of God? I'll tell you why. Because they have not studied the true Word of God. They have not took it serious enough to study it. They didn't see the need for it. Everything else had greater importance than the Bible. And I'm here to say this morning, there is nothing in this whole wide world that is more important than the Bible. Nothing. Not even your life. Would you give your life for that book? Part of that song they sang this morning, we owe a great debt to those that have died, that have been martyred for that book. Do you know what it cost to get this book into your hands? It took lives. People had to be settled on what they believed in God and about God, that they would die and not give in, not give up, not surrender, you see. They would not recant. They would not surrender to the powers that be, to those religious organizations. Instead, they were burned at the stake because they believed in the book. They believed in scriptures, God's words. How much do you love the Bible today, my friend? How much do you love it? How much do you care about it? How much do you read it? How much do you put to memory? How much of it that is so precious to you? Do you honor that book? Do you have great regard for this book? This is the book of books. From the God of gods, the one true God. It's His words. That's what makes it alive. How important is it to you? Could you go out there and knock on somebody's door? If you run across someone and they've got a false version that they're promoting or and so forth, could you tell them, could you show them, this is the true Word of God? Could you show them what's been left out of theirs? Important stuff. Important scriptures. It's coming today, if the Lord tarries. Your life may depend upon this book more than you could ever think. Christ died for our sins, was buried, and He rose again. And God's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to salvation. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed His precious blood for you and I, so that you and I could be saved, so that all our sins could be washed away. He made salvation very easy for you and I, for any human being. Man is what complicates it. But I want to end this morning just by saying, if you're sitting here this morning, you have never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that the Lord wants to save you. He's already paid the full price for your salvation. You owe a debt that you could never pay. But He's paid it in full. And He wants to give you the gift of salvation if you'll receive Him. With all heads bowed, all eyes closed this morning, Brother Jimmy, you coming?